We counted sparks in a midnight jar, but the glass was tinted. Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Today, we are undertaking a deep dive into the hidden complexities of the microbial universe inside all of us. Specifically, we're talking about the gut microbiome. I mean, think about how much modern medicine and nutrition rely on knowing exactly which microbes are there and, you know, crucially, in what amounts.
Right. We use metagenomic sequencing to get those counts. It's really the foundation of modern microbiome science.
So if we want to understand, say, the link between a specific bacterium and a disease like colorectal cancer, we need that data.
We need robust, quantitative data. You have to be able to count the players on the field and count them accurately.
But what if that foundational counting process, the very measurement we build everything on, is, well, fundamentally and massively flawed?
And that is exactly the crisis this new work tackles. You see, metagenomic sequencing gives us this relative abundance data, but there's a huge technical hurdle that's been hiding in the process for years.
It's not about which species are there, right? We're good at identifying them.
Oh, we're great at that. The real problem is the quantification. How many of them are actually there?
And when we look at the scale of this error, it's genuinely shocking. We're talking about critical species, sometimes pathogens, being just drastically undercounted.
And it's all because of a technical artifact in how the DNA is processed in the lab.
The paper points out that some of these species, the ones with low GC content, can be underestimated by a factor of three.
A factor of three is bad enough. But in some studies, and this is the kicker, especially ones looking at bacteria like Fusobacterium nucleatum.
The one linked to colorectal cancer.
That's the one. The error doesn't just triple the problem, it skyrockets. We're talking as much as a tenfold underestimation.
Tenfold? Wait, so if your data says a bacterium is at 10% abundance, it might actually have been 100%. I mean, that's not just an error, that's a completely different biological reality.
It completely invalidates any quantitative conclusion you draw. It raises this huge, huge question. How can we trust any quantitative microbiome study if the basic count can be off by 90%?
It feels like the entire field has a foundational vulnerability.
It did. But the exciting thing, and what we're diving into today, is a piece of research that not only pinpoints the cause, but it introduces this brilliant new computational tool to fix it.
A problem that everyone else thought was just too complex or too expensive to solve.
Today we celebrate the work of teams at the Center for Integrative Bioinformatics, Vienna, the University of Vienna, the Ludwig Boltzmann Institute for Network Medicine, and the Okinawa Institute of Science and Technology, OIST, who have successfully advanced our understanding of microbial community quantification with a novel solution.
Okay, so let's set the stage. Metagenomics. We take a sample, say from the gut, and we extract all the DNA from thousands of different species.
Everything at once. Bacteria, archaea, fungi, you name it.
Then we sequence it all, and we use those little DNA fragments, the reads, to estimate how much of each species is in there. More reads means more abundance.
And that's the core assumption. Read count equals genome abundance. But the whole lab preparation process, extraction, fragmentation, amplification, it's biased.
So it's not a neutral process. Some DNA fragments just get processed more easily than others.
Exactly. The lab steps aren't agnostic to the DNA sequence itself. Some sequences get overrepresented, others get left behind.
And what's the feature that's causing this bias?
It all comes down to GC content, the fraction of guanine G and cytosine C bases in the DNA.
Right, GC pairs have three hydrogen bonds, AT pairs only have two, so they're physically stronger.
And that seemingly small difference profoundly affects biochemical efficiency. Things like PCR amplification can be really helped or hindered depending on that local GC ratio.
And this isn't even a consistent bias, is it? One lab's protocol might favor high GC, another lab's might favor low GC.
Precisely. The bias is a moving target. It changes with the lab, with the kit, with the protocol. And this becomes a crisis for disease studies because different microbes have wildly different genomic GC contents.
So if you're studying a pathogen that just happens to have a really low GC content, your experiment is basically set up to miss it.
You're blind to it. Which brings us back to Fusobacterium nucleatum. Its genome is famously GC poor, around 28%. So when you use these standard biased protocols, its abundance just gets artificially suppressed in the data.
Okay, you mentioned before that this was seen as computationally unsolvable. Why? We've known about GC bias, but the old tools didn't work for metagenomes.
The old tools required alignment. You had to take every single read and map it back perfectly to a reference genome. That's fine for one genome.
But not for thousands at once.
Not at all. Trying to align every read from a gut sample against a database of thousands of genomes would take, well, weeks of supercomputer time for a single sample. It was just a non-starter. We needed a clever, alignment-free approach.
So what's the clever trick? Let's get into the new algorithm, Guacamole.
Right. It stands for guanosine cytosine aware metagenomic opulence least squares estimation. And the key is it's entirely alignment free.
So how does it work? It starts with fast tools like Kraken 2 to get a first pass species assignment, raw counts.
Yep. And then Guacamole adds this GC awareness layer. For every species with assigned reads, it looks up its reference genome and sorts those reads into bins based on their GC content.
Okay, so you'd have a bin for all the F nucleatum reads that are 20% GC, another for 25%, and so on.
Exactly. So now you have your observed read counts in all these little taxon GC bins.
And how does that get you to the bias?
This is the core math. It compares those observed counts to the expected counts.
Expected based on what?
Based on the reference genome itself. If sequencing were perfect, you'd expect to see a certain number of reads from the 28% GC parts of the genome, a certain number from the 30% parts, and so on.
Ugh, it's like an inventory check. We know we should have 50 boxes of this and 100 of that, and we're just counting what actually showed up on the truck.
It's exactly like that. They calculate the quotient. Observed reads divided by expected reads for each bin. And the beauty is, this value now depends on only two unknown things.
Which are?
The true unknown species abundance, the number we're actually after, and the overall unknown GC-dependent sequencing efficiency for that specific sample.
And that efficiency, that bias, should be the same for every species in the sample, right? It's just a technical artifact of the lab chemistry.
Yeah, is the conceptual leap. The efficiency should form a single, smooth curve across all GC percentages, whether the DNA came from a bacterium or an archaeon.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. Guacamole uses a mathematical method, least squares estimation, to solve for both unknowns at the same time.
Yes. It finds the species abundance numbers that made all those little quotients from all the species fit onto one single continuous efficiency curve.
So it reverse engineers the true abundances and the lab's specific bias fingerprint simultaneously from the same data. That is incredibly clever.
It is. It essentially corrects the counts back to what they should have been if the sequencing had been perfect.
And what about bad data, like a bad reference genome or a misassigned read?
It has a quality control step for that, a false positive detection. If a taxon's observed GC distribution looks wildly different from what its genome predicts, it gets flagged as an outlier and temporarily removed from the calculation.
So it protects the overall estimate from being skewed by garbage input. Smart.
A vital safeguard for real-world messy data.
Okay, let's move to the results. The proof is in the data. They started with simulated communities, right? Where they knew the right answer.
And the results were immediate and striking. Guacamole produced virtually unbiased estimates. We're talking a mean relative error of less than 1%.
Less than 1%. How did the old methods, like Bracken, compare?
Not even close. Bracken had errors between 10% and 30%, depending on the bias model. It just shows what happens when you don't explicitly correct for this.
Then they moved to a real-world benchmark, a mock community, a known mix of microbes, sequenced with 28 different lab protocols.
This was a huge test, and it revealed something incredible. Guacamole uncovered 28 unique protocol-specific GC efficiency curves.
So not just different amounts of bias, but different shapes of bias.
Totally different shapes. Some protocols, like you'd expect, struggled with high GC content, but others showed the exact opposite. Their sequencing efficiency actually increased with higher GC content.
Wow. So it's not just a correction tool, it's a diagnostic tool for your lab protocol.
It's like a chemical fingerprint for your library prep. And when they compared the accuracy against all the other leading algorithms, Guacamole just drastically reduced the error, especially for the most biased protocol.
And this wasn't just for protocols with PCR amplification.
No, and that's critical. It showed a clear advantage even for PCR-free protocols. It proves the bias is baked in from the very first steps, like DNA fragmentation.
So now for the clinical hammer blow. They applied this to over 3,000 human gut microbiomes from 33 different colorectal cancer studies.
An epic undertaking.
Yeah.
And when they looked at the bias curves from all these different studies, they found that they clustered into four distinct shapes.
Four different ways the data was being systematically warped across the global literature on a single disease.
That's the meta-analysis crisis right there.
Yeah.
You can't just pool that raw data. It's like combining measurements taken in inches, centimeters, cubits, and fathoms.
You'd get nonsense.
You would. And the correction for F-nucleatum was just essential. The underestimation, as they predicted, ranged from about 1.2-fold all the way up to that catastrophic 10-fold in the most biased studies. Guacamole fixed it.
So what does this all mean for the field? It seems, first off, like a huge validation for this approach.
It is. The fact that it outperformed even marker gene methods, which should be less prone to some of these biases, really proves that it's successfully correcting GC bias.
And going back to that bias curve as a fingerprint, how can a lab use that day to day?
It becomes a powerful quality control tool. You can check if your prep ran as expected. If your curve suddenly looks weird, you know something went wrong in the lab. And you can compare results across different protocols without running expensive mock communities every time.
It's a way to standardize performance, but that discovery of the four bias clusters is also a huge warning sign.
A massive one. It shows the incredible risk in large-scale meta-analyses. Without this kind of standardization, you could easily mistake a technical artifact for a real biological signal. Guacamole lets you fix the numbers before you pool the data.
Okay, let's talk limitations. No algorithm is perfect.
Yeah.
What are the trade-offs here?
Well, that clever false positive detection feature relies on having good reference genomes. If your reference for a real important species is low quality or incomplete, it could get flagged as an outlier and wrongly removed.
So garbage in, potential for that species to be thrown out. What about very simple communities?
Yeah, for very small communities or ones where all the microbes have very similar GC content, the accuracy can drop. The algorithm needs a bit of diversity to get a good read on the efficiency curve, but they've built in a warning for the user if that happens.
And looking ahead, what's the next step for optimization?
Right now, the main bottleneck is runtime. It has to read all the sequence data just to calculate the GC content. The next logical step is to build that calculation directly into the initial tools, like Kraken 2. If you do both at once, it would get much, much faster.
Okay, so let's boil this down. The take-home message. GC bias isn't some small technical issue. It's a huge hidden error source that fundamentally skews our view of the microbiome.
And it causes us to severely underestimate critical pathogens like F. nucleatum, sometimes by a devastating factor of 10.
And guacamole is the solution, a clever alignment-free method that detects and corrects this bias for each individual sample.
It dramatically improves accuracy and, maybe most importantly, makes microbiome research comparable across different labs and studies all over the world.
So what does this all mean for personalized medicine based on gut microbiome analysis, especially when treatments or interventions depend on accurately diagnosing the level of a low abundance or GC poor pathogen? If the true microbial landscape is now revealed, how dramatically will our understanding of disease association have to shift? That's what we want you to mull over.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe to your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base. We counted sparks in a midnight jar, but the glass was tinted from the start. Some letters whisper, some letters shout, and the true ones fade when the lights go out. I watch the numbers blink too low, where the cold blue signal should have glowed. In the gut map grid, in a crowded scene, we lose the quiet in between. If the dial is bent, don't blame the song. Read the tilt and carry it along. Find the slope where the shadows live. Give back what the sample should give. Step close, hold, bring it back to real. Step close, hold, let the count reveal. Cut through the bias, keep the beat controlled. No, step close, hold, step close.
greasy heartbeat almost gone. Misread by the rush, skipped by the dawn. High rise trains get extra air while the soft ones vanish in the glare. Sample should give. Step close, hold, bring it back to real. Step close, hold, let the count reveal. Cut through the bias, keep the beat control. Step close, hold, step close. Tram lines, oh.